guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Seekers podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today, I have the honor of having my girl here, Morielle, and we are going to be talking to y'all about love because it is a very loving time of the year.
Yes.
Let's go, queen.
Woo-hoo. I'm so excited to be here.
So give me some stuff that we are going to talk about today.
Okay.
And give me the, like, what's really on your heart. Because what I really want you to do is, like, ask me questions that the audience always wants to ask me and we always see in my work, and like ask me stuff that would help you and them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
This is aimed for anybody who is single and in a relationship. So if you're single or in a relationship, this is for you.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Honestly, one of the ones I kind of want to start off with is like, I hear a lot of people talk about the importance of love and relationships, and what better person to talk to than you, the queen herself. You're always talking about abundance and manifestation, and I wanted to ask you, how does love really affect your mindset when it comes to abundance?
Okay, first of all, love directly affects your abundance in every capacity. I don't give a shit who says, oh, it's nothing to do with it. It is 100% to do with it. If you are in a happy, loving, harmonious relationship, you will make more money, scientifically proven. If you are happy in yourself and in love with where you're at in your life, you will make more money. If you are in a shit relationship that is taking away from your light, your shine, your charisma, your excitement for life, your abundance is directly affected. Mm. So if I'm in a bad relationship, it is stealing my time, it is stealing my age, it's taking time off my life every day, it is stealing from me. Yes. Mm-hmm. And therefore my productivity in my business and career declines, and it affects my abundance.
And it rubs off, because your partner relationship is the most powerful relationship you'll ever have.
100%.
And it's the person you spend most time with.
Think about it like this. If you are in a happy place, go back to a time when you were super happy. Okay, so think about a relationship you're super happy in. In that relationship, did you make more money during the time you were together, or did you make less?
Oh, definitely. Hell yeah, more.
Okay.
Like,
because you felt good, right? What are things that you look for when you're in a relationship with someone, or you're looking for a relationship? What are the key values that you look for in a man?
I feel like for me, somebody that's like super loving, supporting, and has a good aura and frequency themselves. Like, they're super successful, but successful in a way of life. They're happy. Mm-hmm. They have good people around them. They have good friendships. And if I always look at, if everyone around them is thriving, happy, abundant, successful, then that's a good indicator that they are probably that same way as well, and that energy will transfer, you know?
So true. And by the way, it does. If you're with a energy-sucking vampire, they will suck the life out of you and use all your light to fuel them. And then they say, oh, after you break up with them, then they wonder why their life goes to shit, because
you were holding on to them.
You were lifting them up. Yes, but here's what happens when you break up with someone who's really not deserving of the abundance that they got during the time that they're with you. You withdraw your energy back from them. You literally do, and you can do exercise for this, where you like withdraw your energy back from them, cutting the cord, but further than that, pulling your energy back from them. You remove your energy, which leaves them then ding, 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 ding,
boom. See, you're really good at this. So tell us exactly a good way to do that. Tell us how we cut the ties, how we withdraw our energy from something bad.
Step number one, you do the cut the cord, the meditation. Go on my podcast where we are listening right now. Go to the podcast, Law of Attraction Secrets podcast, available everywhere. Type in cut the cord meditation. You will see a cut the cord meditation. Scroll down, do it. It's like a 15-minute exercise, and you visualize the person and cutting the cord. You cut the cord with them, so you no longer have that cord, and you visualize a cord between you and them, and you literally visualize cutting it with giant gold scissors or whatever it is, big clippers from the garden.
You're actually in your mind clipping the cords.
And when you do that, you're cutting the cord between you and them, and they are no longer tied to you
and your energy. And you can do this with anyone, not just love, like friendships or like business relationships.
Everything. Number two, so important, you visualize when you're in a calm state of mind, you take a few deep breaths and you visualize them in front of you. You might not want to see their face for a second, but trust me, this works. You then visualize pulling back your energy from them. Look, I'm doing it now. I'm pulling back my energy from one of my exes, another of my exes. Yep, I'm pulling my energy back. Bring me back my power, my beauty, my magnetism. I am pulling back all of me so I may be abundant again in my own energy. And you just pull it back. You pull back all your energy.
Jesus, that was like getting goosebumps, like taking back your power.
Yes, you take back your power.
Wow.
There's actually a, you can like recite it, but you can do it as a written exercise as well. But I like to do this in the full moon. I like to do this when I'm pulling back energy generally from somebody. Mm-hmm. And then you can put a force field of protection around you, visualize a white light around you, visualize this force field around you, boom, white light. And you feel that energy of protection, like angels or whatever, and you just feel that protection around you as though you're in a white crystal ball.
And is this something you do one time or?
I do the white crystal ball often. I do it whenever I'm like out in public or whatever, so you can do it all the time.
So we have Valentine's Day coming up here. We just talked about like how to get rid of the energy and cut the cords. What are some things that we can do to attract good energy and good love into our lives for Valentine's Day? Maybe for somebody who doesn't have a partnership yet, or even somebody that has a relationship and you want to attract them closer to you.
So beautiful. When you are attracting love, remember you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So I'm not attracting to me what I want. I want a really hot guy who's loving, successful, ambitious. I want him to be generous. I want all these amazing things. But hey, who am I?
You have to be it.
Be it until you become it. Mm. Like my book is titled, Be It Until You Become It. I have to first embody her to get him. I can't go and say, I want a really generous person, but I'm the most stingy person with money. I can't be, I really want an ambitious person, but I spend all day in bed being fucking lazy. You have to literally decide, I'm gonna be them, and then I will attract them. When I attracted my man to my life, I said, I want a really amazing guy who just adores me, loves me, pours into me, is kind, is caring, is abundant, is fun, is successful, is famous. And I was like, okay, all these things, how am I showing up in all these things? Now, there's some things that you want in your person, right? And you might write it down and you might be like, I want them to be like super tall, but you're only 4'9". That's okay. I'll explain why. Because it's not the physical characteristics that you have to become. It's the characteristics of your soul. So how ambitious am I being? How loving am I being? It's the verbs you have to become. It's not the, you know, super blonde hair or super dark hair. It's none of that.
It takes one to know one. So like attracts like. So the more you become that, the more that you're able to attract that type of person into your life. That's beautiful.
So think about what you want in your dream person. Now, here's where everyone goes wrong, okay? By the way, you can manifest this super fast. You could manifest this for Valentine's Day or after Valentine's Day. I wanted my guy right at Valentine's Day, but I wasn't ready, and he came into my life shortly after. But the reason I say all of this is because you have to do this final piece, which most people miss. And this is what I missed at the time. So don't miss it.
I want to hear the secrets.
You write the we, me, they list. The we, me, they. Let me do it. What do we do together? What are all the things that I want to do together? That's the we list. W-E. What is all the things we can do together? The we list. We.
Like, are we going to the gym? Are we like doing Pilates together? Are we, do we take hikes?
And you're going to write all that down.
Yeah.
So I
building a business.
I'm going to write a list of all the things that we will do together. We built a business together, past tense. We moved in together. We traveled together. He took me away for my birthday. She took me on vacation to this place. We worked together. We went on stage together. We built another business, etc.
And there's so many little nuances. That's why you have to like, she's so good at it. Every time I'm like, oh yes, past tense. Got to have the continual
everything.
Reminders.
I write it all down. Like literally, wait, pause. I'm going to get my journal. So this is my actual journal, what I call my love journal. It's pink. List of everything I wanted in my man. So you write a list of all the things you want in your dream person, like we just went through. That's the you list, okay?
So you're talking about this is with your current relationship.
Yep. Yes. So I literally wrote a list and I said, thank you for my amazing man. And I wrote this entire thing. He is loving, he's kind. We do so many wonderful things together. He's tall, dark and handsome. He has light eyes. I mean, every
That's
detail.
Beautiful.
I wrote everything I wanted in this guy. So what you do, look, characteristics, passionate, loyal, funny, kind, wealthy, spiritual, loving to me, open-hearted, warm,
oh, wow.
abundant mindset.
And he's all of that.
Winner, lucky, dedicated to me, amazing father to my kids, young, between, I mean, slightly outside the age gap, I said between 28 to 42. Almost.
Almost.
Like a couple of years
yeah.
off that. You
yeah,
know?
Give and take a little
right.
bit.
Right. Generous. Famous. Like every fucking detail I wrote. Hot as... Then I wrote a looks thing. Hot as fuck. Sexy. Soft skin.
Wow.
Tanned. Loves God. Good breath. Tastes good. I swear to you, babe.
Everyone has
no,
their things.
You
Honestly,
need
that
to write
so
it down.
Important.
Smells amazing. Big. Woo. Like... I wrote all this stuff down.
So with that, guys, like literally, she's writing these things. You have to become those things, right? Making sure your breath is good.
Yo, I'm telling you, like write it. Then the we list is like I was just describing, is the things that we will do together. So I was like, we made this much money together. We went and did this together. We traveled together. He took me away for my birthday. We hiked together. We went on date night every Friday. All the things that we did together, and then this is the one everybody misses out. It's called the me list. All the things he loves about me. What does he love about me? He loves the way I talk. He loves the way I walk. He loves the way I smell. He loves my career. He loves the way I inspire people. He loves the way I dress. Every detail. He loves my children. What does he love about me?
Wow.
So important. Otherwise, it's completely obsessive on them. They have to love everything about you. And so I read it to him one day and he goes, that's crazy, because that's the list I love about you. I said, of course, baby, I sculpted you with clay.
Oh, well, we can all see, like, the
I needed that too. Oh, I molded and shaped him good.
And the relationship is really good. We can all see how like the love dynamic is so beautiful. And I want to actually ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stayed in a relationship too long and it cost you actual abundance in money?
Yes, that is such a fucking great question. And the truth is, yes. I stayed
It's an expensive decision.
In a previous relationship way too long. And it was the most expensive relationship of my life. I am still paying off lawyers from it. It was so bad. Like, the point is, it got me so messy in my life that I was all over the place and I lost my desire. And if you choose the wrong person, it will negatively affect your abundance. All of a sudden, your time is being swamped dealing with the bullshit they're putting you through. Maybe you've got lawyers you've got to handle now. Maybe it's bad things that happen in the relationship. Maybe there's abuse. Whatever it was you went through, all of it just suctions it from you and now it affects your abundance. So that for sure is another thing that you need to watch out for. Don't make the wrong decision in love. It will directly affect your money. Who you choose affects your money game. When I look at my relationships, I can see, dang, I made the most money when I was single. Now I'm good. I'm in a healthy, harmonious relationship. So, you know, we're flowing. But when I was single, honey, you make even more money.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I've always been super, super good with money. And with that, I know money is energy and it flows to like whoever literally makes it their bitch, right? And so when you have like outside energy, specifically a partner or something that's around that, because when you're having riff with somebody in your life, they start to like feed into like jealousy. So if you're making a lot of money and then they're jealous of you, then it pulls away from the ability for you to be able to make money. Tell us a little bit about that.
Girl, you nailed it. If you go to your dude or your woman and you can't tell them, I just closed an 100K deal or maybe a 10K deal, even a $1,000 deal, okay, or $1 million deal. If you feel you can't share that with them, it's because they are inferior to you. They are insecure to you.
And success loves celebration. So we need to be like, I just closed a $100,000 deal, and they need to be like, oh my gosh, that's
amazing. And if they are not happy for you, it says it all. When I walk in my house and I have good news, oh my God, baby, I just closed a deal for $250,000, or oh my God, baby, I just signed an equity deal and they gave me $1 million up front. When I walk in my house and I share these things, which I have done, if my partner is not as happy for me as I am, get the fuck out. And I'll tell you why. Because that is jealousy. That is negative. You're putting the evil eye on me. You're putting your insecurity about money onto me. You will not make money whilst I win. Get the fuck out. There is another type of person, which I think is different, where the guy is just chilled but happy for you, makes his own money, is super caked, and does really well. This works, man, women, the other way too, but they're not jealous of your funds. Mm. They're not jealous that you do well because they live in it too, they with you abundantly. It. That's okay. But the time you walk in the house, and boy, I had this with my fucking ex and other exes, when you walk in the house and you say, I did something really great, and you walk and you give the news, and they're like, what's for dinner? I'm sorry, that?
No, that's like a complete kill.
I'm sorry, that was your response to me telling you my good news? Get the fuck out.
Get out. And you can block it, but not at an energetic level all the time when they're always there.
You can't.
I want to talk to you about this, the polarity, because we're talking about
yes.
this. You are a powerful female, right? And I'm very
as are
passionate.
You.
Thank you. We both are powerful females, right?
Yeah.
But we're not feminists.
I'm like a unicorn.
We love the masculine energy.
Uh-huh.
And we love to be in our feminine. But mm-hmm. we also like to empower other women and make badass shit happen, right? Uh-huh. So talk to me a little bit about today's day and age with how the polarity is going in life with powerful women and how that relates to relationships.
Powerful women today in relationships, men are so inferior to them. Men are scared of them. Men don't know what to do with it. It's unpredictable. It's bigger than them. Jealous, scared, like, whoa, what is this? Confused. But really what it is, it's the masculine and the feminine energy. And when you get a real masculine energied woman, right? I'm definitely in my masculine a lot because I run a whole
Me
business.
Yeah.
I'm a single mom. I'm in a relationship, yes, but I'm a single mom who is like running the show, making the money, putting the food on the table. I am the chef, the cleaner, the cook, the mother, the father. I'm everything. And when you are everything in your household, right? Till you have a man you're married to. When you are absolutely everything in your household, you have no other way other than being in your masculine. And so you need, as a masculine female woman, you need a man who is really in his alpha, like in his masculine. He can be more quiet, but he's got to know himself. Mm-hmm. Like, he has to be so powerful in his own way that he's not scared of you. He's not worried about your success because he feels so good in himself, and he can grab you and be like, I love you. Like,
hell yeah. Where
the masculine energy. Like, exactly. So, well, I met mine on the red carpet. So yeah, we saw each other and I was like, yeah, he can handle me. My shine is big, baby. You don't need sunglasses for this, honey. You good.
I love
like,
that.
That's
I
what I mean. That. So you attract that to you as a masculine female woman. But let me go further with it. The polarity of it is that a man is masculine energy and the woman is female energy. As a woman who is so empowered and successful in today's world, we're talking the big energies of this world, the Oprahs and the freaking Michelle Obamas and the Natasha Grazianos and the Paris Hiltons and like the really badass females, the Kim Kardashians. We're talking about these women and so empowered that when they're in that running their business in their masculine energy, we want to go into our feminine energy and have a man who allows us to do that. So baby, hang your pants at the door is what I need him to tell me. So I can take over. So then I come in my home and he just makes me feel relaxed. I can go in my bath. I can be in my princess era, my soft yes. girl era, as people talk about. And I can just relax. Mm. But that is hard to find in today's world. A man who's even more empowered and masculine than we are as a female who does all that shit. Meanwhile, what ends up happening is the polarity means that he ends up sometimes he can't handle the energy of a bigger woman because she's so successful. That's what big power couples are. When you see a really famous guy with a really famous woman, they're two big power couples, right? Two people in a power couple relationship. Some men can't handle that shine of the woman. They need to be the star, right? A lot of people are like, no, I'm the fucking star. I'm the star. Like, you're not the star. That's how they feel. So they go for a really feminine woman. There's nothing wrong with a beautiful feminine woman at all.
It's
but what happens is they don't grow from that, okay? Because that woman's not challenging them. That woman is maybe bitchy and bitter about things, because that's how a lot of the feminine energy can come out when misplaced in the wrong way. But what happens is she ends up being not his growth mirror. She ends up being passive to him, and so now he can be his star and he can do what the fuck he wants and he can cheat if he wants and he can live how he wants, because he's the masculine and she's the feminine. So the polarities attract, and you need a man who allows you to be in your feminine. But as a really powerful woman, you need a really masculine man. That doesn't mean he has to be really handsome, really hard. I hate that in a woman.
No,
my guy is so fucking
so gentle.
Kind and gentle, but the most masculine man I've ever met.
The more masculine a man is, the more they are able to be gentle with you, because they're not in their ego.
And like, they don't feel they have to prove anything by being rude.
Egotistic masculine or toxic masculinity is an egotistic is usually the masculine that doesn't feel as
No, you got it. You totally got it. And what they do is they end up going for you, and then the masculine who stays in the masculine doesn't allow his feminine to shine through. He ends up being rude to you and hard and like, oh, I should treat you like shit so that you stay. Remember you were saying earlier, like, what you notice is the way that I'm loved on and treated well. What were you saying about it? Let's have that conversation on camera. It was so good.
Yeah, no. You can tell when a man is masculine enough to realize that he doesn't have to overpower a woman. He's so confident in front of a powerful woman. He's not jealous of you. He's confident. And that means that his masculine is so high that when you're around him, he's able to just let you fully step
it's
into your feminine and get into your beautiful side. And you're able to like take care of him. You know, and then he goes off and does his shit and you go off and do your shit. But when you're together, the masculine energy overpowers whatever badass boss bitch thing you're doing during the day.
No, completely. And I like being able to look after my man. Like, so many women feel if I'm nice to him, compliment him, I'm good to my man, he's gonna run or he's gonna treat me like shit. You know what? It's not even true. That's not even how it works. Like, if you look after your man, he will love on you. So I feel like when we are really amazing and in tune with our guy, we're gonna be loving on them, we're gonna dote on them. What do you need? Like, I did not used to cook. Niente. I don't care. Someone cooks for me, I don't do it, okay? Then I was like, you know what? I wanna cook for a man. I actually wanna be like a valuable asset to him.
But he pulled that out in you.
He did. He pulled that out in me because he allowed me to go into my feminine. He allowed me to chill like this and be like, what do you want?
You felt safe and loved by him.
Yes, so then I wanted to love on him.
Take care of him.
Well, now I want to love on my man. Now I want to do stuff for him. Now I want to be like, what can I do for you?
Like, and I want to talk about this because I think a lot of women think, oh, I need to find a man who's like that. But there's ways that you can actually put a man in his masculine where he's taking care of you. So what's like things that you do to like encourage him to be soft with you and gentle? And
so I reward it when he's kind and soft and he says things like, baby, you're amazing and I love you. And he like shows me his soft side and he's gentle with me and he runs around the car to help me get the baby out, or he like helps me do things that I need. Mm-hmm. At that point, I'm like, baby, I love you. Yeah. I just want to pause and pray for you and tell you how much I adore you. And I pause with him and be like, I just love you and I appreciate it. And
so
then maybe I'll...
Very intentional.
And then maybe I'll cook him dinner right like that night, like straight away. Like I'll cook him dinner just to show him how much I truly appreciate what he did. If, on the other hand, I get the hard, masculine, the not nice side of the, you know, how someone can be, you know, then at that point, I don't reward it. So I'm busy for dinner. Like, I'm in the bath. Sorry, I didn't cook tonight. Like, order whatever you want.
Yeah.
Or like, let's just order instead.
Because a woman has power. Like, women can either, a feminine energy can either provide life or death.
Yes.
And I think that we pull, obviously there's toxic, you know, men and things like that. But I think we have the power to pull that out in them.
100%. And honey, let me tell you a really good trick with a man.
We make them whatever we want.
Yes, we do. We create our man. We draw them on paper, physically draw them, yep. Put pictures on paper like a vision board, write about it. You can do what I call my vision board journal, where you write down around photos, you stick in photos of all the things you want in your life, and around it, you like draw pictures, you write things. It's a vision board journal. It's not just writing.
Yeah.
Exactly. You put pictures on it and you bring them to life. You then create him when you are with him. So you be like, when you're literally with him, you reward him for certain things. You tell him. I do think, I don't be like, why don't you ever buy me flowers? No. I tell him, baby, you know when you bought me those roses? It made me so happy. Will you buy me more like that? I love that stuff. Like, I love when you do it. You tell them what you love. Tell them what you love. You want to take the trash out every week? Baby, I don't know what it is, but when you take the trash out, you just remind me of having a man and what it feels like to be loved. You just reward the good behavior. And
if
you,
more women did that, where would we be? Because, like, the polarity difference in the world is because women are trying to be men, or, like...
Well, they have to be. It's not even their fault. Like, I literally didn't have a choice.
Exactly.
I was a struggling single mom fighting to survive my fucking health. In pain, suffering, not knowing whether I would even survive.
Exactly.
And be survival a single mode. Mom. And pay for my kid. And pay for my life to get out of the hundreds of thousands of debt. We didn't have a choice. I was like, whoa, this is a dark place and I never want to be there again. So you change your life. But it's also a mentality shift. When you decide I'm worthy of being loved, I'm worthy of building a business, I'm worthy of this, you shift your mindset, your life shifts.
Beautiful. Women are so adaptable too, like even from like having babies and the body changes and everything, they're adaptable. So we can go out and do badass shit and then we can be in our feminine.
100%. Like, you have to also remember this, and this is, I'm sorry, and someone's gonna be like, what the fuck is she saying? But I'm sorry, I'm gonna own this. Punish the man when he does something wrong, okay? That doesn't mean if he cheats, you go cheat. But punish a man when he does something wrong means don't cook for him that night if he does something wrong. If your man does something to disrespect you, or he's rude, or he fucks up on one of your boundaries or whatever the fuck, punish him. Withdraw your energy, withdraw sex that evening, withdraw something, be a bit cold, punish him. Like, if I really want to punish you, you know that thing I said I was going to buy you as a surprise? I canceled the order. The Amazon was gonna arrive, I canceled it. Actually, it arrived and I gave it to charity. Like, I'm punishing your ass if you think that you're gonna get away with it. Girls don't talk about this. I fucking own it. I'm punishing your ass if you think, like a child. Yeah, treat a man like a child. Like, tell him no, sit the fuck down. Don't do that to me. Now, that doesn't mean that's how I speak to him. So I'm gonna show him through my actions.
Yeah, show us an example.
Literally that. I sent a parcel back, a package back to Amazon as soon as it arrived of something that I had bought him that he knew I was getting him. And I was like, yeah, I sent it back. Why? When he asked me a week later. Well, remember that night when you did XYZ? I really didn't like that. Yeah, I told you. Just sorry, I sent the package back. Now he's gonna be pissed off, but whatever. Deal with that shit later. Don't let them flip the switch either, gaslight you.
Yeah.
Don't gaslight me. Also, don't be reactive in a relationship. Super easy to say and super hard to do. Don't be your normal reactive nature. Yeah.
Okay, tell us how to not be reactive. Like, when somebody does something that you don't like, how is a way to do a reframe? So we do this in business and sales all the time. So it should be the same way in a relationship. Like, what are we reframing?
Well, why is it not the same in a relationship? And I'll tell you for why before we go to the reframe. It's because of emotion. When you love someone, you like them, you're interested in them, they've got something you like about, whatever it is, your reactions are impulsive. So when they do something, your instant reaction is bleh, verbal diarrhea or whatever, you should go on at them. What you should really do is go pause, like we learn in Kabbalah. Pause. What a pleasure.
Pause.
What a pleasure. Why is this happening in my movie? Why is he or she disrespecting me in my movie? Mm-hmm. What am I meant to learn from this? How is it helping me evolve? Well, actually, it's teaching me reactions. So when you want to go crazy, you reframe it to not, you did this. I'm like so angry you did this. Take anger out of it, because when you start men just hear one note. They don't hear noise. They actually don't hear words, proven. When you go to them quietly in a soft tone, you're so angry, but you pause for 3 hours. 3 minutes even. 3 minutes is fucking hard in the moment. You pause.
3 minutes is hard.
Really hard in the moment. You come back to them and you say, hey, could I talk to you? I really didn't want to share this with you, but I feel like I'm going to. It's about my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I know how much you respect my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you, and you start with a compliment, of the way that you really put my feelings first. But today, when XYZ happened, you flirted with the waitress. You spent too much time talking to that girl. You liked another girl's picture on a photo that you've been with previously. Whatever it is, when you did that, it created a pain in me. Mm. I felt so hurt. You go straight to I felt like canceling.
You.
I feel hurt. Mm. I feel emotional. I feel pushed out of my comfort zone, and I don't feel safe. When they hear that that you don't feel safe, they're your hero. Mm. They want to feel safe with you. So you say things like, I didn't feel safe. I felt like not protected by you. You're my hero. I feel nervous now about this, and I'm scared I'm gonna get hurt. You reframe it into sadness, into feelings, not, you're such an asshole. You did this, you did that, you. Because watch this.
You're not accusing them. You're just talking about how you feel.
These are
my feelings on the matter, and nobody can judge you for your feelings.
And when you point the finger at someone and go, you're the problem, watch this. 1, 2, 3 fingers are pointing back at who? At me. Who's the problem?
Yeah.
So we reframe it. Take responsibility. So be like, you know, I understand that you were a fucking womanizer previously. that you did that, and that was your choice in the moment, but it made me feel really not safe, and I just would be so grateful if we could just address that right now, and if you would just give me the space to feel this and not do it again.
A good man is gonna see that, and they're gonna want to care for you. They're gonna want to make you feel safe. They're gonna want to fill the gap that that was created between the two of you. Even if it like takes time or to pan out, he's gonna wanna lean in.
Absolutely. And if he says your feelings are invalid, honey, start to look at who you're with. If he says things like, no, I didn't do that, you're the problem, start to look at who you're with. But if you bring things up every day and you're a hypochondriac, maybe you are the problem. But if this is rare, that you really bring things up and you really are feeling this, hopefully he opens a space, a container for you to like talk about it. And he says, you know what? I'm sorry. A man that apologizes is the most masculine man that I know. I love a man who apologizes, but not all men can. And if he doesn't apologize, really, it's because he's so insecure in himself. And he feels if he says sorry to you, he is lesser than you. No, you're bigger than me because you apologized.
Wow.
But men forget that. Self-love. Get a self-love routine and love on you. Take yourself on a date. Mm. Go out and celebrate you. Go to the theater on your own. Go read a book in the library with yourself. Ooh. Take yourself for tea. I have that scheduled. I take myself to different hotels around LA. Y'all might catch me there one day on my own, sitting and enjoying my company. Even I have a man, I still do it. I take myself on a date because I want to be taken here on my day. I look after me how I want him to look after me. I worship me. I love on me. I treat me with love and respect. And every day I do rituals. I have a bath in milk and honey when I'm attracting abundance. Yes. I bathe literally in milk and honey. That's what Cleopatra did in the Egyptian days. I just love on me.
Because it's the frequency, right? It can affect it with the relationship. It can affect it with self-love. I do the same thing. I go to fancy restaurants all the time. I'm single. And don't have a partner. I've never really had a serious relationship. That'll come one day.
Of course it will, because you'll manifest it, but you'll manifest what you are. So love on you so hard. Love
a book. I'll leave my phone at home.
Love yourself. Pour into yourself. Feel amazing about yourself. Just know, like, I am so in love with me. I can be whatever I want. I love on me. I worship me. I
wake up feeling like the most beautiful person there is because you chose you. Women always do better in life when they feel chosen. And I tell them, like, choose yourself.
Choose you.
When you choose you, that's when all the magic starts happening.
Choose you even in a relationship too. Choose you all the time. Choose you. Put them first as
God
well.
First,
put
you first. Second. Your relationship third.
Love that. But put you first as well, like with your man at the same time. Like, you can worship him, you can worship her, but love on you. Because let me tell you, if you don't put that oxygen mask on first on the plane,
you're going to suffocate.
You have nothing to give others. You have to take care of you first. And when you do, you will reap that reward.
You're giving from a full cup.
Yeah.
It's overflowing.
100%. When I feel down, when I feel out of sync, when I feel angry at him, because I'm not pouring into me enough. It's because I'm not focusing on my purpose enough. It's because I'm not focusing on my career. And talking about
a masculine man will understand that. Be like, hey, I need some self time. Like,
yeah, he loves it. He wants to go and hoop and do all his things solo. I'm like, babe, do your thing. I'm doing me.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I want to say is pouring into you and how it makes you feel good. And something which people don't talk about, and I'm just saying it, and I'm taboo as shit, and you all know this. Surgery. I love surgery. What's your view on surgery?
Honestly, surgery is something that is like, listen, when you choose yourself and you don't necessarily like a certain aspect or you want to expand on it, girl, go and do it. Like, if that makes you feel like the best version of yourself, you will only live once. And yeah, I love it.
So pour into you, and if that means getting whatever you need done, do it. Like, I love doing my things that make me feel good. I do Botox. I've had a BBL. I'm going to, like, pump more. I don't even care. I am so honest about who I am. I'm so grateful for my God-given body, but I believe if we've been given surgeons, it's for a reason.
Exactly. In this day and age, like, we have all the technology to be whoever you want to be.
100%.
It's the same thing, like, you always talk about you writing your character, right? You could be whoever you want in this world, and if you choose to, like, you know, look a certain way and be beautiful, and that makes you show up in the world, you know, more powerfully because you feel a certain way,
then why not
do it
and go out there and feel good? Like, I literally go to Beverly Hills to my favorite surgeon, Dr. Simon Orion, who's done, I mean, the Kardashians, like, it go there regularly. Some of the biggest stars in Hollywood go there. It's so great. I think last time I was there, I actually heard Kylie Jenner laughing, like, literally in the other room. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. So I do all the things that make me feel good. I love it. Like,
and I love all of her surgeries. I say I'm a natural girly, right? But I have always, like, okay, at some point I'm going to want to start doing them. And I always look to people. I'm like, who's your surgeon? Like, tell us about, because if when I'm ready, I'm coming to who you have.
Well, this is the thing with surgery. You can do stuff awake and asleep. Like, my aesthetics doctor, Dr. Simon Orion, as I was saying, in Beverly Hills, he's so phenomenal because you can do it all awake. So you don't have to go to sleep for it. I've
That's
done a lot
cool.
of the surgeries where you go to sleep, and I've done, like, a lot of things on my body. But this is so great because I literally go in there 15 minutes later. I come out looking like a beautiful version of me. Okay. And everyone's like, wait, what? Let me tell you, when you enhance you, your confidence is through the roof. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally did my face with him. I've done Botox. I've done, like, all my beautiful things that I believe help you. Like, now I've done my lips. Like, I, like, not done my lips, so I just recently did those and I love them. He has done jaw filler. Like, look, the definition is so beautiful. Yeah. Can you see?
I can. I mean, that, you can't see.
And chin. So he like, he
it
added.
It looks natural.
Yeah, like, look, it's like super defined. Mm. And then on top of the, like, that sort of thing, and I'm really just sharing this for all the, you know, girls, guys out there, anyone who, it, like, is wanting, thinking about this, I feel so confident in myself having had this work done subtly on my face. I literally feel younger, have been told I'm glowing, look younger. I also did the carbon dioxide facial. I absolutely love that one, by the way. It's like a carbon dioxide laser thing. Whoa. Like afterwards, people were like, you're glowing. What happened? I'm like, Dr. Simon Orion. Like, it's so good. And when you do that kind of thing, if that is what makes you feel good, do it.
Do it. It's like doing your hair or putting on a cute outfit. It's proven you'll do a better workout at the gym if you go in a cute outfit, you look fire, and then you put in more energy to yourself. So it's the same thing. Like if you are feeling more confident because something that you energy and like that you invested in yourself, you're gonna show up more confident, you're gonna make more money, you're gonna have better relationships because you feel on top of the world.
100%. And certain doctors like that make you feel relaxed. Like I was actually really scared of doing surgery, and I'm sure there's someone out there who's
scared.
Like,
I've never had needles.
Well, I was a needle phobic. If I was a needle phobic and I can have all these little tiny injections in my face, believe me, somebody else will be fine. I would faint with needles. I had all kinds of trauma from it. And gradually I just said, you know what? I was like, I'm gonna be fine. And this is for me to feel good. So why would I not do it? So I went in, and then that was it. He makes you feel so relaxed. He's an artist on the face though, babe. You should actually see him because he's different. He's not like takes forever, goes in there, spends hours looking. He just sees you. You've already been checked by his whole team before you go in there. So you're like ready. Like it's so quick. He's like Picasso on the face.
Yeah.
So he goes in and he starts like looking at your face, looks at your, boom. Before you know it, it's already numbed and done. And you're, he's, it's, I've never seen anything like it. I always say it to him. I'm like, I forgot you did it.
How do we reach
I know
it?
He's really good. Do you know what? Should I put a link for anyone who wants?
I think I should.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am not like doing this for any other reason than out of love. So I'm going to put the link below. If anyone is like, who do you go to for your, you know, face or your butt or anything that you are thinking of doing, he does everything. Like everything, like makes your hands look younger. If you have hands that are looking old, makes your neck look younger, snatches you.
I'm gonna
like
do the neck.
Girl,
the other day, someone's like, oh, I can tell your age by your hands. Let me see your hand. And I put my hand out and he was like, he said a really high age. I'm not gonna say it. I was like, your hand thing doesn't
let
work.
Me see your
or
hands.
I need.
I mean, look, he does the coolest thing with the hands where he like anti-ages you. Like everything. He's a genius. It's called Simon Orion, and he works in his place, which is called Epion. And, oh my gosh, the clinic is so sensational. It's like you go in this beautiful black gate on the, I think it's next to Rodeo Drive, and you open it, and as you go in, it's just like, wow. And you see all the stars on the walls and all the testimonials.
Oh my gosh,
and like,
I have to go.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I will not go even like to a med spa. If you're not aesthetically pleasing, like get out of here.
I'm going to put the link below for Dr. Simon Orion. I'm going to put his Instagram link below because I think I really love him. I'm so grateful for all the work he's done for me. And it just made me feel so much better about myself. And hello, I attracted the love of my life. So it works for love. We love this stuff. It's so good. So do what makes you feel good. Give me one final question.
One final question. I want to ask you, in this season of love, and also we're going into February, mid-February, into the year of the horse, and I know you're a horse, right? Tell us about like three things that we can do in this season to really expand us for the year to come.
Okay, number one. And by the way, I am the horse.
Exactly.
It's my year.
Talk about this. Like,
I'm a horse.
Because you're love.
Like, your age, your number, the year you're born in, tells you the year that you are. So, which is so incredible. So, this is really my year. And, but for anybody, you can make it into your year.
Look, how you to can expand. Look it up and compare yourself with the horse.
Yeah.
And figure out how you.
So, how to expand in this year. Step number one, write clear goals. Most people fuck up at the first hurdle. By this point in the year, most people have neglected all of their New Year's resolutions and they're back to their previous ways. They're drinking again, they're partying again, they're smoking again. They're not going to the gym. They're not focusing on their goals as much. It's starting to simmer out or gone. It's proven statistically 86% of people forget their New Year's resolutions by February 1st. So first of all, focus on your goals. Get back into alignment with your goals. What are your goals this year? Like, what's your financial goal? What's your career goal? What's your love goal? Let's get real crystal clear, okay? Step number one, how to expand it now. Take inspired action every day. Check this out. If you do three small, and you heard me talk about this the other day at one of my talks, if you do three small goals towards your main goal every single day, three small goals towards your main goal, that's 1,095 goals a year.
So what do? You like pull it out, three small goals towards your main goal, meaning you have a main goal for the year.
Let's say it was to write a book this year.
Okay.
So three small goals today towards that book could be find options for titles of the book.
Okay.
So you get it really small.
Some titles. So like you take out your main goal. And then you're like, okay, today I'm going to have three new steps. And then you write down like, okay, I'm going to find new titles. I'm going to maybe like research a publicist.
Yes, research. It's small goals. Don't overwhelm yourself. It's not like write a chapter. It's not like write the book. Hell no.
Very small
it's
wins.
Tiny.
Small wins equal big wins.
That's yes, exactly. It's small goals. Going back to your comment earlier, success likes celebration.
Yes.
Celebrate yourself by achieving three small goals a day. Very small. And then, honey, 1,095 goals. You've written that book.
My mentor always told me to write it like you're saying and physically be able to check them off. So it's like you're celebrating in a way like, I did this, I did that. Even if it's like, make my bed, you know, like, oh, I drink my water today. And as you check them off, you're celebrating the small wins and it makes up a bigger win.
It does. Well, what actually happens is scientifically is your brain starts to see that you're a winner and that you're not a loser. And it starts to say, oh, we like to achieve and win. Oh, we don't procrastinate. And as it starts to see that you achieve goals, it makes the bigger goals easier to do. And all of a sudden you achieve them. It's like just science.
Wow. I love that you always put the science into it. I'm like, I know some of these concepts and I do them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The science part, I'm always like.
Step number three is always be learning. ABL, always be learning. Learn something new every day. Watch 5 minutes of a documentary on YouTube. Watch one of my videos every day. Watch, go into my school, the Scripting Society, and learn, which we'll be talking about on the next episode, about how you can learn about your brain, learn about your mindset, learn about how to win, learn how to build your business, learn how to achieve, learn how to manifest. Always be learning. I like to learn something new every day, whether it's 5 minutes of a new book, 5 minutes of a new hobby, a new task. I am always learning. We are learning and we should be learning until the day we die. Otherwise, our brain will die. If you're not learning, you are dying. If you're not evolving, you're devolving. You have to be learning every day if you want to survive, if you want to get younger every day. And neuroplasticity is proven to be happening until the day that we die. Neuroplasticity is the ability to learn a new habit. It's the maneuvering, the malleableness of the divots in your neural pathways, in your brain, in order for you to learn something new, which means you can learn a new language after 25. It might be harder, proven after 25, but you can still learn a new language. So those are my three tips.
Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today. Law of Attraction Secrets Podcast. We'll see you again next week for another amazing show.
Love
my name
you.
Is Natasha Graziano. This is my girl, Morielle. And we'll see you soon.